Welcome to Assets and Aging, Affording the Future, the live local show that's all about the issues of aging. Who's going to take care of me, and who's going to take care of my mom, or my dad, or my grammy, or my grampy, or my best friend, or myself, or my spouse? As we lose independence, as we become more frail, how do we manage our life, or the life of those around us? How do we manage taking care of ourselves or all the other things that happen to us? Glad to have you with us. I'm your host here, Bob Scrivano, for a really long time. I don't know how long, but it's been a while. 19 years right here on KFBK and KSTE. Glad to have you with us. Lots of stuff to talk about. Kind of an eclectic show today. Going to talk about some hanky-panky at the under the dome downtown. Some other issues. Vets, Medi-Cal. What else am I going to talk about? Death. I don't know. We've got a lot of things to talk about today. All of which I hope you will find interesting and will make sense to you. A couple things we got to get out of the way right away. Don't forget, I'm just going through stuff here, folks, trying to organize, making sure that everything we talk about here makes sense. Don't forget, I'm not an attorney. I don't practice law. If you want to talk to an attorney, then you should go talk to an attorney. I have a California insurance license. I have a legal document assistant license recorded in Sacramento County, which allows me to prepare legal documents at your direction and request. I'm a notary. I'm not securities licensed. I don't want to be. What else? I don't know. I'm not a real estate agent, and I can't... Well, I probably can. I'm not licensed, but I'm probably able to change the cartridges on your printer. We have to make sure we say all that stuff every week. Otherwise, somebody will get very mad. You think I'm making this up, but I'm not making it up. A couple ways to get in touch with me. One is you can always call my phone number, 800-999-8007. You can go to my webpage, assetsandaging.com. Assets, A-S-S-E-T-S, and A-N-D, aging, A-G-I-N-G, assetsandaging.com. When you go there, you can ask me a question. You can sign up for my newsletter. You can sign up for an upcoming workshop. I have them at least once a month. You can sign up for my newsletter. You can ask me a question. You can get in to see me and sign up for an appointment. You can get more information there than you can imagine. Also on my webpage, assetsandaging.com, you can listen to my podcast, which I do every Wednesday at noon live. That means I am actually there. So every Wednesday at noon, I do a podcast and on a different subject, and you will probably want to listen. They're always interesting. And when you go to my webpage, they're archived. So you can listen to them. And listen not only to the live one every Wednesday, but you can also go there and listen to my archive podcast and radio shows. So lots of information available on the issues of aging. As you get older, as I get older, as we all get older, you can do all that stuff. Okay, where do I want to start? Boy, this is a really hard one today. In fact, one subject I have all ready to go sitting in front of me, and I don't know if I want to talk about it because it's I may talk about this in a workshop. It has to do with veterans, folks. And you have to be very careful when you talk about veterans. But let me just talk about something in as general terms as I can. Recently, was this in the newspaper? Where was this? It was somewhere. It's CBS in San Francisco. And it was a Bay Area lawyers being asked to help veterans fight for VA benefits. And let me read it to you. It says, lawyers who, and remember, everything we talk about here is my opinion only. I'm going to say that again and again and again today, because we're going to talk about political things and controversial things that lots of people don't like to have talked about. And I've debated all week whether to talk about this, but I think it's important if you're a vet or you know a vet, and for veterans in general. Lawyers who want to help veterans with service-related disability claims are invited to a free seminar in San Francisco on Monday. Nearly 45% of veterans returning from Iraq and Afghanistan seek compensation from the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs, known as VA, for service-related injuries. 30% of those filing include claims for post-traumatic stress, according to the Practicing Law Institute, but many of those who should receive benefits will be not denied, the Institute said. And then it's a call for attorneys to come to this organizational meeting. Okay? Why is that? Because, and there's another VA benefit for non-service-connected disability called Veterans Benefits. So a wonderful article asking attorneys and accredited agents to come and help vets who are being denied veterans benefits. At the same time, and I got to be really careful here, at the same time, a political entity, the Department of Insurance in California, is putting together a coalition of people, and I'm reading from a press release from November the 10th of this year. Elder veterans are often targets of financial crimes, and many are unaware of how to avoid pension poaching scams. There is no such thing as pension poaching, and it ticks me off. And I'm not going to read the name of this. There's two nonprofits involved in this. One of the nonprofits involved in this, and this is through the Department of Insurance, and I'm looking at GuideStar at their nonprofit, so all of their information is public record. So this is a nonprofit that last year, are you listening, took in $29 million. They spent Where's their tax return? I got their tax return right here somewhere. They spent $22 million in salaries. They took in $29 million. This is a nonprofit, and I'm looking at their tax return. They spent $22 million in salaries. They ran a deficit of $600,000, and they had total assets of over $51 million. Now, that's one of the nonprofits behind this. The other nonprofit behind this took in about $2.5 million last year and paid themselves over $1 million in salaries. By any standard, all of these, as an accountability, these nonprofits would fail. And $1 million of the second nonprofits came from attorney's fees that they get as a commission because of the referrals they send out to attorneys. So they made $1 million suing people who are trying to help veterans whose CBS News is asking for attorneys to come and help veterans. So through the Department of Insurance, these two nonprofits are being asked to help stop pension poaching. These pension poachers convince vulnerable consumers to tie up their life savings in irrevocable annuities, which leaves many of them financially devastated. Our department is committed to working with these agencies, these nonprofits that collectively took in over $30 million last year and paid themselves almost $25 million in salaries. Our department is committed to working with these agencies to warn consumers and end scams. Well, let me tell you what the scam is, folks, and then you tell me where the scam is. The VA, if I'm trying to get aid in attendance, I'm a vet or I'm the surviving spouse of a vet, and I have an IRA. Let's say I'm a vet with a single vet with a $60,000 IRA. And I try to get veterans benefits to help me pay for care. A caregiver at home, or assisted living, or a boarding care. I need care. And I'm a single vet, and I got $60,000 in an IRA. The VA counts IRAs. So I can't get VA benefits of $1,800 a month, approximately, because I've got an IRA. I worked hard, and I've got an IRA. And so if I cash in my IRA, now I don't have the money anymore, and I'm out not only the money I took out of the IRA, but I have to pay income tax on it. So there is a way to keep your IRA. Now you got to follow me on this. It's the only way for you to keep your IRA and still qualify for VA aid in attendance. And that's what they're talking about, called pension poaching. So the goal here is to keep veterans from getting VA benefits to which they're entitled because there's an annuity involved. And these organizations specialize and making sure that that doesn't happen. And they make millions of dollars a year in commissions that they get paid by attorneys who sue people over this. I'm not making this up, believe me. I've got proof. So the only way that this veteran now can go get veterans benefits, or maybe it's not the veteran, maybe it's the veteran's spouse. And the veteran spouse is trying to get her lousy little $1,050, $1,100 a month from the VA. And she's got a $50,000 IRA that she inherited from her husband. She can't get her VA benefits because she has an IRA. So what you do is you go out and you buy what's called a single premium immediate annuity. Now remember, why are we doing this? Because we're trying to get, if we're the veteran, about $1,800 a month from the VA, tax-free by the way, to help me pay for care so I can stay at home. What a terrible thing. The audacity. I'm being facetious. But I couldn't get it because I had this IRA. So my choice was either spend the IRA and pay the taxes, or buy a single premium immediate annuity, which pays me income. It takes my $50,000 in my example, and instead of now having $50,000, I have a stream of income, let's say $1,000 a month or $500 a month or whatever it is, for the rest of my life until all the money is paid back to somebody. Because you can do what's called a period certain and life, immediate annuity, and all of the money will be paid back to somebody, either the veteran or the veteran's spouse or the children. So all of that, none of that IRA money is lost. You stop and think about that for a minute. instead of having to lose my IRA money, so because I can't get VA benefits if I've got that big IRA sitting over there, instead of being able to protect that, the Department of Insurance is putting together a commission in which the nonprofits involved make money, lots and lots and lots of money, off of lawsuits in order to keep vets from obtaining veterans' benefits, and they call it pension poaching. And what they're talking about are IRAs. I wish I could give you all the backstory to here, the people that are involved. A supposed annuity expert who used to be one of the biggest annuity salesmen on the planet until this person decided that he didn't want to do that anymore. There was more money serving as a professional consultant in lawsuits. And that's what the Department of Insurance is doing. And you can believe me or not, but I am putting myself at risk at talking about all of this. But I just think it's really, really, really important. With nonprofits, I cannot tell you how important it is. Listen to what I'm going to tell you. Write this down. There is an organization called GuideStar. And GuideStar, if you're a nonprofit, you have to file a tax return every year. And that tax return is public. It's called a Form 990, an IRS Form 990. So I'm looking at this 990 from one of these nonprofits. And what I learned was, this is a nonprofit. Now listen to this. They took in $23 million from program service revenue. They're a nonprofit. That's the money they charged people for their service. So they performed services for them. They took in $23 million. They paid themselves $21,720,000. In salaries and employee benefits and other compensation. Stop and think about that. And they have $51 million, according to their 990, in assets. I didn't pull the other one. I have it memorized. So this commission has been formed in San Francisco, and it's a harbinger of things to come. Now, when you tie that to the regulations that are coming next year, they were supposed to be out this year, from the VA on the 3-year look back and how much money you can have and all that other kind of stuff, it's an attempt to sound really good. And it's political, because people involved here are also running for political office. Let me read you a statistic. In one of the statistics, it says, the California Department of Insurance manages insurers who collected $288 billion in premiums last year in California. And then it says, and then they helped consumers recover $84 million in claims and premiums. Now, that sounds like a lot, but if you figure it out as a percentage, it's 0.2%. You also need to know that the Department of Insurance gets all of its money from the taxes and fees. For instance, there's an annuity premium tax. If you buy an annuity, you pay a tax. And that tax goes to the Department of Insurance to run its budget. It's important that you understand what's happening with vets. If you think I'm making it up, you can go read the press releases. You can go read the articles. You can run the 990s from GuideStar. You can find out what's really behind all this of this stuff and what's going on. It's important that you be informed, because On paper, it sounds like, wow, what a good thing. They're going to protect seniors. No, they're not. They're going to keep seniors from getting veterans benefits to which they are entitled. And I don't want to go much deeper into it than that because I'll start naming names, and I don't want to do that. But those of us that have been doing this for a long time have been talking about this for the last week, and all of us are of the same opinion. If people really knew what was going on here, they would be aghast. This is all about... Never mind. So be aware of what's going on. Be aware of the new veterans benefits that are coming. There's a series of forces aligned against vets in the guise of protecting vets to make sure that they don't get, that the nonprofits get the money. Remember, stop and think about that number. Let me read you the tax return one more time. So you don't think, one of the nonprofits involved in this took in they charged people $22,850,000 for services and paid themselves $21,720,000 in salaries. Okay, my next subject. Oh gosh, do I have time to get to my next subject? This is about another government agency. I'm debating here, folks, whether to start my next subject. So this is an article from Kaiser Health News on abuse by Medi-Cal and Medicaid caregivers, and I want to spend some time on this one, and I'm afraid I'll run out of time. I'll get to that in the second half hour. Let me divert here for a minute in the time we have left. It's really important that you understand how long-term care works. It's important that you understand who pays, who's going to be in charge of your life, who's going to be able to make decisions, who's going to do whatever. It's really, really important because this stuff, as we have an aging population, the anti-smoking thing that just passed, how many of you think that was about smoking? Come on. Nah, it was not about smoking. I forget what proposition it was. It had nothing whatsoever to do with smoking. Nothing. All of the money made from that initiative will go to Medi-Cal. Supposedly for healthcare to keep people from smoking. No, it's because Medi-Cal is billions and billions of dollars underfunded in California. And it was a way of collecting taxes on the poor because if somebody making $100,000 a year, if the price of a pack of cigarettes goes up $2, is that a big deal? No. If somebody making $20,000 a year, if the price of a pack of cigarettes goes up $2, do you think they're going to quit? No. It's a regressive tax. And it was passed by certain people as a regressive tax to secretly raise money to help cover the budget shortfall that we now have on Medi-Cal because Medi-Cal is the primary insurer in California and most of the United States. So when you read statistics about we have fewer uninsured than ever, it's a lie because they're counting all of the people who go on Medi-Cal. We've added 4 million, almost 5 million new people. One out of every three Californians is now on Medi-Cal, which is a taxpayer-funded healthcare. It's not what you and I think of as healthcare. We think of an insurance company. We pay a premium. People don't pay premiums for Medi-Cal. They get tax credits. It's paid for by the taxpayer. The Department of Healthcare Services, which I'm going to read about in a minute, is bigger than all of the money that goes through K-12 education in California. It's bigger than all K-12 education, the Department of Healthcare Services. So when you begin to read things and you hear things and you see things about health insurance and taxes and all, you need to really understand the politics of what's going on here and who's getting this money. When I come back after the break, I'm going to talk about Medi-Cal caregivers and the widespread abuse and fraud going on in the Department of Healthcare Services, and why it's more important than ever that you plan your future so that you get to pick who's going to take care of you and you don't become another victim of the system. I'm going to take a little break. We'll be back in a minute. Give me a call during the break. Get to a workshop. Come in and see me. 800-999-8007. I'll be back here in just a couple minutes right here on Assets and Aging. Don't go away. I have a lot more to talk about. Again, 800-999-8007. Welcome back to Assets and Aging, Affording the Future. This is kind of an eclectic show. It's stuff that's just been on my mind for a long time. I mean, it's just stuff that's been on my mind for a really, really, really long time. I want to talk about another issue. Again, Bob Scrivano, your host here. Remember, you can get a hold of me in a couple ways. California's single best source for information on the issues of aging. 800-999-8007, or you can go to my website, assetsandaging.com, assetsandaging.com, assetsandaging.com. You can sign up for my newsletter. You can get to a workshop. You can come in and see me. You can ask me a question. You can listen to my podcast. Every Wednesday, I do a podcast live right on my website. And I think you'll find them interesting and informative. And it always relating to the two great questions of getting older. Who's going to take care of me? And how am I going to pay for it? They're really important questions. And you need to make sure you have the answers to those questions as you get older. Who's going to take care of me? And how am I going to pay for it? Okay, I'm reading now, and this is really important. Everybody wants to be independent. Everybody wants to stay independent. Everybody needs to be independent. Hang on, I'm going to grab something. Just a second. Don't go away. I'm going to keep listening. I'll sound. Okay. In Dr. Atul Gawande's fabulous book called Being Mortal, B-E-I-N-G-M-O-R-T-A-L. He talks about the fact that all of us, as we get older, are going to lose independence. If you have not read that book, go buy it and read it. Being Mortal, B-E-I-N-G-M-O-R-T-A-L, Being Mortal. And as we lose independence, sometimes we need caregivers. And lots of people get caregivers through the Medicaid system, Medi-Cal system. Medicaid and Medi-Cal are the same thing. We call it Medi-Cal here. It's run by the Department of Healthcare Services, the single largest, the single largest agency in California government. It's bigger than all K-12 education. So next time you teachers go on strike looking for money, one of the reasons your district doesn't have enough money is because it's all going to the Department of Healthcare Services. But that's another story for another day. This is from Kaiser Health News, which I get all the time. It's a wonderful newsletter. This is from 11-9-2016. Pretty current. Okay? 11-9-2016. And the title of the article, it's by Melissa Bailey. Actually, I guess the article was written on November 7th. I printed it out on the 9th or downloaded it. So it was November 7th, 2016, Kaiser Health News. And it's Seniors Suffer Amid Widespread Fraud by Medicaid Caretakers. Remember, Medicaid and Medi-Cal, same thing. But because Kaiser operates in some other states, they're using the term Medicaid. They'll also talk about Medi-Cal. How many of you remember a few years ago there was a bus? It was not talked about much, but there was a bus heading for a casino in Colusa. And the bus had an accident. I don't remember what happened. I remember the driver was unlicensed or whatever, but you know, it was a gambler special bus. And several people were killed. It was a real tragedy. Well, after they investigated a little while, they found out that a lot of people on this bus were caregivers for old people. And they had were billing Medi-Cal, and they weren't home taking care of the people they were supposed to be taking care of. They were getting paid for being there, but they were on a bus headed for a casino to gamble. And you know, it was probably, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago. I don't remember. And that's what this article is talking about. So here were people who were getting paid by the taxpayer to take care of the most frail among us, who were on a bus, and nobody knew about it. They all assumed, because they put in a time card, that, you know, they were taking care of a nice little Mrs. Schmidlap. I want to read you some stuff. You know, and I read earlier about the attorney. Where are the attorneys on this stuff? Why isn't the state getting sued over this stuff all the time? Why aren't there Open Records Act requests going in all the time on this stuff from real organizations, watchdog organizations? Why isn't the largest newspaper in the capital of the biggest state in the union, not there's no articles on this? Well, there's lots of reasons why, but why? I'm reading from the article. An Alaska man developed gangrenous toes. A Philadelphia woman froze to death on the street. An Illinois woman died emaciated, covered in excrement. These patients suffered as their government-paid caregivers neglected them, collecting paychecks under a Medicaid program that gives elderly and disabled people non-medical assistance at home. In some cases, the caretakers convicted of neglected were the victim's own family members. Because under the Medicaid program, they only talk about one here, the Personal Care Services Program. There's another one called IHSS, In-Home Support Services. It can be a relative. It could be your granddaughter. It could be your son. It could be your nephew. It could be a family member who's getting paid to take care of you in their house while they're living there free. The Personal Care Services Program, which exceeded, now are you listening to me? This is just one, this is not all of the programs, just one of them. The Personal Care Services Program exceeded $14.5 billion in fiscal year 2014, is rife with financial scams, some of which threaten patient safety. So we're going to go after the people who are trying to help vets protect their IRAs. But the most frail among us, again, I'll read it. The Personal Care Services Program is rife with financial scams, some of which threaten patient safety. The Office of Inspector General has investigated over 200 cases of fraud and abuse since 2012 in the program, which is paid for by the federal government and administered by each state. These caretakers, often untrained, almost always completely untrained and unlicensed, by the way, and largely unregulated, are paid an average of $10 an hour. It can be higher than that now. To help vulnerable people with daily tasks like bathing, cleaning, and cooking. The report exposes vulnerabilities in a system that more people will rely on as baby boomers age. How long have I been talking about that? As we have an older population, we are going to have more people needing care, and the system is not equipped to handle it. The money's going somewhere. I dare not mention where, but the money's going somewhere, but it's not going to the most vulnerable among us. Demand for personal care assistance is projected to grow by 26% over the next 10 years. An increase of roughly 500,000 workers. Why do you think they're trying to unionize care workers so desperately, folks? Again, I say this over and over and over again. If you're older, you're getting older, you're taking care of someone who's older, you better understand how this system works. I had a client the other day who went looking for a nursing home, and they went to the nursing home, and the nursing home said, "We don't have any Medi-Cal beds." And they called me back up and said, "Bob, they don't have any Medi-Cal beds." And I said, "There's no such thing as a Medi-Cal bed." And they said, "But they told me they had no Medi-Cal beds." "Well, but there's no such thing as a Medi-Cal bed." "Well, we're really confused." "I know, they made it up because they didn't want you. So they simply told you they had no Medi-Cal beds. But I'll guarantee you, if you walked around the facility, you would have found empty beds. Because they, what they would have had is short-term or rehab beds, because Medicare pays $700 to $900 a day for those beds. If you don't understand how the game is played, if you don't understand how the system works, then you're going to become a victim of that system, and that's what's happening in this article. "This type of industry is ripe for fraud," warned so-and-so program manager at Alaska's Department of Health and Social Services, who has investigated widespread fraud. "The risk increased because the care takes place out of view in people's homes, and because neglected patients may not advocate for their own care." Are they going to turn in their granddaughter who never shows up and yet is getting paid? No. Are they going to turn in their son who's living in the other room with a girlfriend, living there rent-free and getting paid because while he's supposed to be taking care of grandma? No, grandma's not going to turn that person in. The OIG report describes a range of ripoffs, some of which involve caretakers caught up in the nation's opioid epidemic. In one Illinois case, a woman whose nursing license had been suspended for allegedly stealing drugs at work signed up as a caretaker. She billed Medicaid for $34,000 in caretaking services she didn't provide, including charges made while she was on a Caribbean vacation. In Vermont, a caretaker on probation for drug possession split her paychecks with the patient's wife in exchange for stealing the patient's prescription painkillers while he lay in visible discomfort. If you don't think this goes on all the time, you're making a mistake. And if you think Adult Protective Services gets involved, you're making another mistake. Talk to elder law attorneys and find out how often they could call trying to get help from Adult Protective Services with no help available. In Philadelphia, Christina Sankey, a 37-year-old woman with severe autism, froze to death on the street after her caretaker lost her in a crowded Macy's 5 miles away. In some cases, I'm reading from the Kaiser Health News article, in some cases, elderly patients were neglected by their own children who signed up for caretaker payments. In Idaho, a woman was hospitalized for severe dehydration and malnourishment after her son and caretaker neglected her. Investigators found the home they shared littered with drug paraphernalia. The son pleaded guilty to fraud and abuse or neglect and was sentenced to a sober home. Not to jail. He was sent to go sober up. So he got care paid for by the taxpayer. Stop and think about that for a minute. He was getting paid by the taxpayers to take care of his mother. He abused the system, so the taxpayers paid to send him to a sober home. And then another caregiver at taxpayer expense was sent in to take care of his mother. In Illinois, a woman was found incoherent and covered in feces after her daughter and caretaker failed to show up for over a week. The woman who loved crocheting and quilting died 7 months later at just 46. The daughter was sentenced to 5 years probation, again, at taxpayer expense. Investigators provided no count of how many cases of fraud and abuse involved relatives, but it's fairly common for family members to be the attendants, and it's fairly common for those same family members to be the one who are abusing, neglecting, and committing fraud, said an OIG, Office of Inspector General Special Agent in Washington, D.C. In California, I told you I'd get to California, Department of Healthcare Services, largest agency in California, bigger than public education. In California, 3/4 of Medicaid-funded personal assistants are relatives, though some states restrict hiring family members, not California. In California, a Kaiser Health News investigation last year revealed widespread problems as well as a lack of training and oversight in the state's program, which is the largest in the U.S. And if I got into the subject of care homes, licensed care homes that get inspected, if they're lucky, once every 5 years, we could spend another 2 days on that. But we're going to form a commission. The Department of Insurance is going to form a commission to punish the people that help protect IRAs so vets can get benefits. Stop it. And where are the attorneys in this? Where are the attorneys suing the state of California on behalf of these people who are abused in California and in these other states? And on and on and on and on and on and on. The Inspector General's Office, which has documented years of fraud and neglect in the program, urged federal action. The Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, commonly known as CMS, I have a Google alert for several different things, and one of them is for CMS. So every day I get a Google alert for CMS on what's going on at the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, requires no standard training nor background checks for personal care attendants. I don't even know what more to tell you of how long this has been going on. But disability groups, nonprofits, but disability groups have pushed back against stricter regulations, arguing they don't want to limit Medicaid beneficiaries' access to caregivers, so CMS is treading lightly. Stop and think about that. The same nonprofits that I was talking about before have pushed back against regulations because they don't want to kill the goose that, you know the whole story. So who should the state and CMS and DHCS and all these people be protecting? The caregiver or the care recipient? You have to understand the system that you're entering when you enter the world of long-term care. As you become more frail, as your mom and dad become more frail, you are going to enter a world for which you, I am guaranteeing you, for which you are not prepared. You think you're prepared, but I'm here to tell you, you are not prepared. You only think you are. You think you understand it, and most of the reason why you think you understand it. Now, my next week's show, by the way, I already have the topic for. And next week's show is entitled How to Lose Lots of Money. You're going to want to hear next week's show. I already know the name for it. It's called How to Lose Lots of Money. When you enter the world of long-term care, you're entering a world that does not operate by normal rules. Let me give you a for instance. I'm dealing with a Medi-Cal case right now, and the only thing, somebody in a nursing home, is they count the cash value of life insurance policies. I bet you a lot of you didn't know that. They count the cash value, so there's a little bit of cash value in the life insurance policy, okay? And so they want, so anyhow, long story short, there's a provision in Medi-Cal regs, section 50402, Title 22, California Code of Regulations, that says if you ask for something to be cashed in or surrendered, the minute you ask for that to happen, that asset no longer counts until you get the money. Well, we have sent three separate requests Now remember, this is a family dealing with a loved one in a nursing home. We have sent three. I have the three requests. 1, 2, 3. We have sent the three requests to the insurance company asking for the money. I have copies of the request. I have done a statement under penalty of perjury saying that I've mailed these. We did them on the forms that the insurance company sent us, their forms. So we're pretty sure we've communicated with the insurance company. But the county is asking for proof that that we actually sent the request to the insurance company. And I'm going, I'm talking to them, and I'm going, wait a minute. We got the forms from the insurance company. I have the copies of the forms that I sent to you, so you have copies, knowing that we mailed it. I have three copies named copy, you know, the original one, second request, and third request. You've got a letter from me saying that, you know, an affidavit saying that I have in fact sent these. So today I got a phone call from the county, Medi-Cal, saying, well, we called the insurance company. They say they never got your requests. And I said, well, even I could figure that one out. I've been trying to tell you they're not responding to our request. Well, it fax the request over. Here's the fax number. Okay, I don't like faxing requests to insurance companies. I prefer hard copy mail because you can send them to a specific department. When you send it to a fax, you know, anyhow. So I fax it over. I get the proof of fax. I call Medi-Cal over and say, well, we still have to wait until they acknowledge that they got your request. I said, you understand, I sent you the proof of receipt of the facts. Now, at the end of all of this rigmarole is a family trying to deal with somebody in a nursing home. Who don't know the rules. The family doesn't know. The family doesn't know what they're up against. In this case, the worker didn't know the rules. I had to finally get to a supervisor who knew the rules. And even then, they're not applying the rules as they should apply. She said, well, we know the property is unavailable. I said, well, if you know it's unavailable, then why are you counting it? Well, because we want... What? Okay, let's just make up stuff as we go along. So when you enter this system, whether it's the VA or Medi-Cal or rehab, or what's the difference between observation and admission to a hospital, and how does that impact nursing homes and bills and insurance and Medicare and everything else, when you enter this system, you're entering a system that is not on your side. It is not on your side. It is a system skewed toward the providers, not the users, not the frail elderly users of the system. It's as simple as that. I couldn't make it any more simple if I tried. It's why it's important to listen to this show. It's why it's important for you to go find these articles and read them. And begin to read through the get to the bottom of whatever it is and figure out where, follow the money, follow the influence, follow who wants to get elected to a higher office, follow all of that stuff and find out if what's going on is for your benefit or for the benefit of a politician or a nonprofit that takes in tens of millions of dollars a year, pays the tens of million dollars a year in salary, and all of this kind of stuff. Find out how all of that works and who's benefiting from this. Is that the poor little old lady being taken care of at home? Is it the poor little old man who's the vet trying to get veterans benefits? Or is it a system that's so confusing and so non-transparent that nobody can understand it? Come to the workshops, get on my newsletter list, come in to see me, and make sure that when this begins to happen to you or your family, you are, in fact, prepared. 800-999-8007. Get your family in. Get them going. Get things happening. Make sure that you understand. Make sure the documents are in place that are going to let you navigate a system that's impossible to navigate without correct documents. Make sure you understand your parents' wishes. Parents, make sure your children understand your wishes. Quit trying to hide from each other. Talk to each other. Become involved with each other. Make a difference for your family. 800-999-8007. Or go to my website, assetsandaging.com. Assets, A-S-S-E-T-S, and A-N-D, aging, A-G-I-N-G, assetsandaging.com. Get to one of my workshops. Listen to my podcast. Sign up for my newsletter. Get involved. Sit down at my office. The consultation is free. But you can either become a victim of a system that is stacked against you, or you can begin to learn the tools and techniques that will allow you to navigate that system and protect that you've worked a lifetime for. So sit on your butt and do nothing and watch it all get frittered away. Or get off your you-know-what and do something. Get your family in, get your kids in, make a difference. 800-999-8007. Well, for Assets and Aging and Bob Scrivano, that's me. We'll see you here again next week. We'll see you on my podcast on Wednesday. And thanks so much for listening. Assets and Aging, Affording the Future. Have a great, great day.